Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu. At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, when she was young, they lived in a very haunted house. Could the former owners still be in that very old home?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown. Quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, that indeed it is. And yeah, 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the program. You know, speaking of old, creepy, haunted houses, I don't know if this is haunted or not. I always had weird vibes about it my entire life. The house that was standing next to my parents' home is being torn down today.
Oh.
It was across the creek. It was this dilapidated two-story, probably, I don't know, we're probably talking like built in the 1930s-ish, I'm guessing. And my whole life growing up, it was the largest eyesore ever. Like, we had a nice, comfortable-looking house, nice yard, and then this... The people who lived there when I was growing up were straight out of something out of like The Burbs. really, seriously, like it felt like The Burbs. And they were just the strangest people. And there was a lot of negativity you could feel. There was a lot of, you know, arguing, probably abuse is my guess. At one point, one of their adult sons killed himself in the home. It was just a weird vibe. The owner of the house, the husband anyway, always wore fatigues, kind of looked like Kim Jong-il, if you will.
Wow.
Wasn't, Korean or anything, but just wore the fatigues, and just was a creepy man and would always be standing outside anytime anyone was doing anything in our yard. He'd be out there watching to make sure we weren't violating something on his property. It was very paranoid, very just weird as shit. I remember one time when I was a kid, one of the scariest moments I had. So there's a creek that's separating my parents' house from this old dilapidated thing. And rather than this man deciding to mow his lawn or cut the weeds that grew along the bank of the creek, he decided one day to just go out there and pour a lot of gasoline down, like everywhere. And this, you know, this gasoline then goes into the water too. It's right there. And I'm in the yard playing. I'm a little kid, you know, and all of a sudden I hear this boom because he threw a match down to light it. And all I see is just this wall of flames up on the side over in that part of the, I'm like, what? Like, I'm thinking like a bomb blew up or there's some, like, what happened over there? And he's just burning the weeds. That's all. Just standing there as the weeds burn and as the water starts burning as well, because gasoline's going into the water. So you literally have flames kind of like rolling through the creek. It was a weird place.
And then you wonder, like, did the land or the house maybe create some weirdness for the family, or did they bring it along, or you know what I'm saying?
I think in reality, you probably have multi-generational abuse that is going on in that family. It's a family that I know is, you know, they have a lot of legal problems and such. I'll tell you the name off the air. But you'd probably recognize it from our area growing up. Where there just was a lot of issues. This is just how they handled themselves and how they did things. But I don't know, with the land, there very well could be. I mean, that creek, there, if you look at like historical maps and such, there was like a trading rock. I know exactly where this rock is because it's ginormous, like this boulder that I believe Native Americans had used as kind of like a trading spot along the area. So I don't know. There's just always been a real negative feeling to that. It was fun to see it being torn down today in a text. Something I wished for probably the last 30 years, that it would tip over or something would happen to it. But it is finally going down, probably right around finally the time my parents will decide to sell their home.
Right, just in time.
And I get, you know, great. You know, like they wanted it gone for like forever since I was a small child. So, you know, 35 years or so, because I think we moved in there when I was like 4 or 5. It's just been there. But now it's gone. Someone else has bought all the property and the land. They're building a home up on the ledge there. And they didn't want that horrible thing there. These people also, every year, it was gross. They pressed apple cider in their shed out back. And this is the least sanitary place I've ever seen. But people they'd bring apples and then they'd press the apple cider and then, you know, give it to people and distribute it. And then at the end of the year, the season, he'd spread rotting apples all in this field right in back. So my backyard, the smell of fall to me is rotting apples in the backyard, because that's what it was. Now, since then, that field has grown up and the trees have grown ridiculously large in a short period of time, but it, quite fertile with all the apples there that were out there. But I remember going to a popular pumpkin patch as a child. You probably know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
And they served the app. This is where they got their apples pressed back in their earlier days. I'm guessing they probably pressed their own apples these days. But back then, they were pressed across the creek. And I remember my family going there with like cousins and stuff. And it was like, ooh, apple cider. This is great. And me and my mom were like, I'll take a Pepsi. Like, yeah, I'm good. But why did you have some apple cider? Like, you don't want to know. You just enjoy your apple cider. You probably built up your immunity quite a bit, but you probably got tetanus drinking that apple cider. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to call.
Hi. So I have a pretty creepy ghost story. When I was about, I'd say maybe 6 or 7, I used to live in this house, and it was the first haunted house that I had ever really, like, experienced. And now, like, I'm still haunted by all kinds of stuff. I'm into the paranormal, ghosts, everything. Well, anyway, I was about 6 or 7 in this house, and the first experience we had was we had a remote on our living room table, and we were watching a movie. It was me, my brother, my mom, and my dad. And well, after the movie we had watched, we went to go reach for the remote, and it was missing. So we're like, okay, well, one of us probably put it somewhere else. So we went all around the house looking for this remote, and turns out, like, when we came back to the living room, The remote was in the same exact spot where it had been before. But we all knew that, like, it was missing and it was gone. So we were really confused by that. And a little history on this house was that there was an elderly couple that used to live there, and they were pretty deep in debt, and they ended up killing themselves in our garage. They had sat in their car and turned the car on and let it run, and it eventually killed them. So, and the house has, according to my mom, she says the house, we don't live there anymore, but at the time my mom was like, the house just does not have a good energy to it. And I kind of felt that too, because I had experienced my first, I guess, sleep paralysis type experience. I don't really know what to call it, because I absolutely hated my bedroom. I don't know why, mainly because I would hear voices in the vent when our AC was pretty much broken half the time for no reason. I always felt like there was a man standing in my closet. But the reason why I talk about sleep paralysis is because I used to be able to control my dreams and like kind of lucid dreaming. Well, for some reason, they always turned into these horrible, horrible nightmares. And at the end of every dream, like, I would wake up, but I couldn't open my eyes. Like, I knew I was awake, but all I could see was, like, TV static, and I could hear it. And it would feel like hours before I could even wake up and move. Well, there was this one night that I had the sleep paralysis, and, you know, after every nightmare I had being a little kid, I would get out of my bed, grab my blanket, my stuffed animal, and go to my parents' room down the hallway. Well, I would always book it to my parents' room because I hated the bathroom, and it was right next to my room. I don't know what it was. I just hated it. It freaked me out. But anyway, so this one night I had gotten up, I was ready to book it, and the way my house is laid out is there's, so you walk in, there's a living room, and then there's the stairs on the left side of the house, and my room is, like, right next to the stairs, and so I can see out into the living room. Well, I opened my door, and I had this feeling just look behind me, and I looked behind me, and there was a tall black figure of a man standing there staring at me. And I remember, like, squinting to see if, like, maybe I was tired, my eyes were playing tricks on me, but I did that several times and I was freaked out, and he was still standing there. And so I booked it to my parents' room, and I was freaking out, and I've always remembered that. Well, apparently my brother, he had experienced stuff like that too. He said that he saw this figure follow him around school and in the house. And so I asked him, like, what would the figure look like? And he said it was a tall black figure of a man. No, it was no features, no clothes, nothing. It would just follow him everywhere. And that kind of freaked me out, since I saw that too. And he told me that it would get so bad to the point where he would have breakdowns and just really freak him out. Well, another thing I hate about the bathroom is he told me that he was in there a couple times and the faucet would turn on by itself, which kind of confirmed, like, okay, there was something in that bathroom. Let's see. My mom had also said that one night she was laying in bed, and she saw this figure, the same figure me and my brother had been seeing, walk from her bathroom up to the bed and started pressing on her chest like she couldn't breathe. Like, the thing was just causing her not to breathe. So she was freaking out, and, like, she couldn't scream or anything. So she started saying, like, a prayer, and then it went away. Well, There was just a lot of stuff in that house. And some of it has followed me because I've always had ghosts. I've always had my own weird experiences. I have so many. I have a ghost box. I have flashlight that I use. And I'm kind of known as the ghost whisperer with my friends. That house was definitely something. Thank you for listening to my story. Bye.
Thanks for sharing that with us. Interesting that I found it interesting at the beginning of the call where she said that someone had killed themselves in the home, and we had just kind of talked about that with that creepy home that was being torn down where my parents live.
Yeah. I mean, you never want to find out that's, and here's the thing. People die in homes all the time.
Yeah.
That's one thing.
Yeah.
But a murder or a suicide or something like that, whether or not that necessarily brings any energy with it, I'm just not sure how I would feel about that if I were buying a home and I found out.
That's why you got to look at, like, there's websites for that where you can find, but I have found out, I thought foolishly, and I haven't had a reason, you know, why I bought a house that had anybody that died in it that I'm aware of, but it's not the case in every state where if you ask, a realtor has to reveal that information to you. Some places it is, but not everywhere.
Yeah, I've talked to actually some realtors. Usually around Halloween, we get a realtor in to talk about like some of their haunted house stories and stuff like that. I think in Wisconsin, if you ask, they have to tell you, but they don't have to disclose it on a report. So it doesn't have to be put out there, but if somebody asks, you have to tell them here in Wisconsin.
Well, that you also have to assume that the realtor even knows, correct? I mean, that may be something that they don't even have knowledge of, or is that something that they're required to look up? I don't know if it's asked.
You're right about that. I mean, I think if it happened with the family who is selling the house, I think they're required some, but again, you could lie about that. But certainly if something happened 50 years ago, a lot of that stuff wasn't necessarily always reported and stuff like that. So, I mean, something could have happened in your house 50, 60 years ago. You would never know.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily someone trying to hide it or not disclose it. It's just kind of lost to history, if you will.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Something to think about with old homes, for sure. It's just kind of one of those, you got to assume at some point in time, the odds are someone probably died in the house.
And with new homes, of course, the big thing to watch out for, Indian burial grounds, as they always say.
And black mold. Indian burial grounds.
Black mold, that's right.
That's it. That's all you need. Indian burial grounds and black mold. Look out for those two things and you'll be all good. All right, that's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, become a supporter through Apple Podcasts. You can check us out there on our premium channel or patreon.com/realghoststories. We do greatly appreciate that support. Until next time, for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's. Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's. Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,